last week, I taught you that the psalmist, David in Psalms 80, the psalmist teaches us that Israel, as a vine, was brought out of Egypt and then transplanted in Canaan. And this is what the Bible teaches us. Israel, as a vine, was transplanted out of Egypt, brought to Canaan land, and planted. Now, God caused the vine to take root. God caused the vine to take root. But we read in Jeremiah, we read the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2 and verse 21. This vine, though noble and of a ripe seed, soon degenerated into a strange plant unto God. Now that's Bible, folks. But this morning I want to say, now Jesus. Say that out loud. All right, now talk to me. Some of you haven't said a word today. Talk to me. Now Jesus. Jesus has come. And the 15th chapter of John, you might be able to start turning if you'd like. The 15th chapter of John, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the true vine. Say the true vine. Talk to the preacher. True vine. Jesus is the true vine. He was brought down from heaven, if you please. He was planted on this earth. He is the faithful and the true witness. And Jesus Christ is the source of our goodness. If there is any righteousness within us, if there is anything that is right within us, Brother Petrie, it's because of Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. We're in John 15. And we begin reading at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word. Say the word. Say it. The word. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God has spoken a good word to us. And this is it. In its totality, the purity of God is right here in this word. Verse 4. Read it out loud. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Read it out loud. For without me ye can do nothing. Folks, I would love for you, as I have taught you week after week after week, month in and month out, open your mouth. Speak this word out. Speak it out so that you can go home being strengthened with the might and the power of the spoken word, folks. But unless you, by faith, step up and accept what is being preached and taught, it will do you no good. Amen. Let's look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. Now read it out loud if you would please. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is my Father, Jesus said, and this is my Father glorified. And read it out loud. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Look up at verse 2, if you will. We have four baskets that we want to look at today. We looked at this last week for a few moments. And we have on the screen four baskets here. And if you can make it out as I can, you can see the bottom basket is representative of verse 2. See the bottom basket, everybody? Everybody looking at the screen, the bottom basket. Say it. No fruit. Say it. No fruit. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit or not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit. All right, can you find a basket on the screen? Then it bears some fruit. The third one up from the bottom. See that third basket up from the bottom? That third basket is bearing some fruit. See it in verse 2? Some fruit. And look, the next encouraging word is more. Oh, look at the second basket from the bottom. The second basket, it's almost full. More fruit, and look down, if you will, at verse 5. And what do you see? In verse 5, we read where Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Say it, I am the branch. I am the branch of the vine. This is, I am in verse 5. Verse 5. I am in verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus said. Nolan, you're one of the branches. And if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you will bring forth what? The next word. Say it. Much fruit. Put a smile on your face. Now look at your buddy or your wife or your spouse. Look at the one right there by you and look at that big old smile. Look at it. A big smile. Big smile. Maybe you don't smile. I'll get out of you today. Now, you're going to smile. You're going to smile. Much fruit. Say it. Much fruit. Praise God. Praise God. If you didn't brush your teeth, then you'll just have to start. Amen. That way you can smile a little bit. That'll help you. Amen. We have four baskets on the screen today. And we see here where that we're thankful for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The sum total of our association with Jesus Christ is to bear fruit. Where are you? On the screen, I left you with that thinking last week when we dismissed church. I am up there somewhere. I am either barren, say barren, I am either fruitful, say it, fruitful. There are days that I bear more fruit, and then there are days that I bear much more fruit, and those are the days I want to make sure I come to church so that the preacher won't fuss me, because he's always wanting you to smile, always wanting you to hug somebody around the neck. Somebody say, praise God, I am thankful that I can bear fruit. Fruit. The sum total of my existence, Brother Lloyd, on this earth is to bear fruit. The reason you breathe and the reason I live and breathe today is to bear fruit. What are you talking about, Pastor? Say that. Thank you. I can always depend on Chuck and Yvonne on the front row to ask him to do what I tell him to do. What are we talking? We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit of God that He has given us. And I'm preaching today that God wants you to bear faithfulness. Bear fruit of faithfulness. Kindness. Seems like people have forgotten how to speak kind words anymore. I love to hear kind words, don't you? Long suffering, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and the beautiful, beautiful fruits of love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. God wants us to enjoy the practical understanding and the terms that we are seeing on the screen, good works. Christ-like qualities. Why did I have you hold your Bible up to your bosom a while ago? Why? It's important for you to hide this word in your heart. As David said, I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God. Jesus said this, I have chosen you. I have appointed you. I have sought you and I have found you. I have chosen you and I have appointed you. Go forth now and produce good fruit. Go forth and produce good fruit. Paul says, You were created in Christ. Listen to this. Paul said it like this. You and I, we were created unto God for righteousness and to produce good fruits. Amen. And this morning I believe that we are beginning to see just a little glimpse of what Jesus is teaching us, folks. There's always more. There's always more for us to learn about God. Do you think for a minute that God is going to give up on what He died for? He died for your redemption. He died for your sin and for mine and for us to go forth from the altar and live a fruitful life, Sister Wanda. Live a life in the community so that the world can see your good works. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, and thus be glorified, James said it. And glorify me. Jesus said that. Go forth, produce good fruits, and then you will be glorifying me. Jesus said, don't hide. Don't hide. If I make you mad with this statement, then just get glad. You ready? Here it comes. If you find a church boring, then something is wrong. Something is wrong in your heart. I'm not talking about this church or the next church. I'm talking about you and me and the condition of our heart. If you find fault, if you are critical, then no wonder You represent the basket that is empty. Now, if you accept that, say amen. Because it's good preaching. This is good. Because Jesus is not going to forsake you. He's not going to stop tending. Is He not the Father? Isn't He the vine dresser? Isn't He the one that is going to take care of you? And we're going to learn today all about this, because I want to place a transparency on the screen that will help us understand what the pastor is teaching today. On the screen is an actual, vivid, real account of the malady. I didn't say melody. I said the malady. Say the word malady. Some of you have just got, you're determined not to talk. I want you to open your mouth and say it. Malady. Malady. Malady means problem. Problem. Malady means something has gone awry. Something is wrong. Something just isn't right. Folks, isn't it amazing? Maybe this will challenge you. Isn't it amazing this morning that you would think up here that if this teaching of the barren fruit and the barren grape vineyard, if you think that anything this important to God, why doesn't it happen automatically? Brother Joel, if it's this important to God, then why don't it happen? That's amazing, isn't it? I don't know whether you think like this or not, but I find myself, why? Why can we not open our eyes? Why do we come to church and sleep through church? It'd be best if you just stayed at home. Why? Why not be sincere with God? Can you say amen? God says produce fruit, and I'm here to encourage you to realize that your fruit producing is not going to come automatically, folks. It's going to come by your prayer, by your studying the Word of God, and by you purposing in your heart and in your mind, you're going to clean up your act. You will clean up your act. Somebody say, praise God for that. And so my question today is this. Hear it carefully. If we are Christians, please look. Christians. If we are Christians, why doesn't my life reflect godliness? If I am a child of God, why am I so barren? Why am I so guilt-ridden? Please, folks. Please. Why am I so guilty? Why am I guilt-ridden? Why do I feel so barren? Why am I sickly? I'll tell you why. Because there is a sin in your life called unforgiveness. It's fact. That's why I am here this morning. And don't you think for a moment that I can stand up here and automatically pray and preach like this. I can't do it, folks. There is a price that has to be paid. Let me just tell you this. Do you think that Jesus walked down into that temple of God, the house of prayer, if you please, in the Scripture? Do you think that Jesus just automatically took the whip and He whipped those money changers and those sinful people out of that court? just because he wanted to. No, sir, because there was sin in the temple. And when you walk into this building, folks, and you've got sin of unforgiveness, and there's bitterness, and there's resentment, and there's hatred in your heart, you haven't forgiven so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm here to tell you it's time to repent. How can you come and take communion when you kneel at this altar when there is unforgiveness in your heart? You can't do it. You can't do it. There you are. Look at the screen, folks. There you are. That's you hanging down. And I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But first, I'm here to tell you, Jesus prayed in the garden all night long, Brother Chuck. He prayed all night long. And he, in his midnight vigil, cried, "Oh, Israel, Israel, why have you killed the prophets?" Somebody will say amen. Folks, if you don't get with me, I'll preach to 1 o'clock. Now that's a threat. Come on, folks, get with the preacher. Come on. My point is this. A man of God cannot stand before his parishioner and preach the Word of God hot and intense without first praying. Jesus, before he whipped those money changers out of that temple, Brother Ralph, the Bible says the evening before he prayed all night long. Now that's Bible. Let's give the Lord a praise clap. On the screen, we see a barren branch. Now, let's take some time to understand this. Jesus said it like this, "Every branch in me." See verse 2? Everybody turn to verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." We're looking at John 15 and verse 2. Say the word barren branch. My, my, my. What a troubling thought. How can we be taken away if I am in Him? If I am a believer in Him, how can I be taken away? Somebody say amen. Now folks, this is going to be deep. It's going to be good. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be like a T-bone steak. Preacher, don't talk about food when it's 12 o'clock. This is going to be rich, heavy, and good, but it's going to be good for you. Here it goes. How? Okay, we've already concluded that there is a need for revival in the church. How come this side don't say amen? I get a good response over here. Say amen, folks. Good. Now, I'm serious. Get with the preacher here this morning. Hallelujah. How is it? How is it that we are in the church, yet we bear no fruit? That's what we're going to study right now. If I am in Him, then how come He's telling me that He's going to take me away? Do you see it? Look at verse 2. See it? Look at it. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Read it. Verse 3. Read the Word. Read the Bible. Read it. Now I'm clean. In verse 2, I'm barren and fruitless. And now I'm, how can I be in Him and be barren? How can I be in Him and be barren? How can I be fruitless? How is it possible? If I'm clean on one hand and I'm barren on the other, take it off. What is Jesus trying to teach us? Well, I'll tell you what it is. We can exist living a barren life. It's fact, because all you got to do is look around. And when you look around, look first in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Before you condemn me, you first come to the altar and seek forgiveness. Real quickly, one more time now. In verse 3, we read that we're clean, but in verse 2, He's going to take us away because there's no fruit. Now, Dr. Bruce, in his rendering, and it's a beautiful study here, it's a word study, there's a Greek word pronounced aero, A-I-R-O. The Greek word aero is rendered takes away. Look at verse 2. Looking at verse 2, you see the word that says takes away. That's a Greek word which means to take away. Say it, take away. But now watch. The same word, the same Greek word, can also mean in other scriptures to take up, or to lift up. In this rendering, in the King James, it's reading takes away. But before He prunes this vine off, this branch off the vine, it's not dead. Oh, hallelujah. Now you're getting the thought. The preacher is making sense. It's not dead yet. It's still living. Yes. How many of you remember the story of the disciples when Christ fed the 5,000 and the disciples went around and they did what with the leftover food? Come on, say it out loud. They gathered it up. Say it, up. Up. They didn't dispose of it or throw it away. They gathered it up. What about Simon? What did the Roman soldiers command Simon to do? To bear the cross of Jesus Christ. He what? He took that cross. Come on, help me preach. My voice is just about gone. I've got to have help. He took that cross up. He put it on His shoulders. And He what? He bore that cross. I've got to take a break. Jerry, I've got to have a microphone that I can hold. Can you give me some power here? Give me some power here, buddy. Because my voice is getting weaker by the second. What happened to my voice? Oh, there we are. Turn this one off, okay? Praise God. Praise God. Now, can you hear me okay? Now I can feel comfortable and I can move around. Okay. Here we have on the screen the perfect picture of you and me who are barren. Everybody understand what I have said thus far. There's no need to go on unless you have understood what the preacher has preached thus far. Do you understand that it's possible to be in the church and bear no fruit? Do you understand that? Now I'm telling you why it's that way. It's because you have chosen to just
lay down. But I'm encouraging to realize that Jesus has not taken you away, but He is what? Picking you up. Now, folks, what I'm fixing to teach is real. What I'm fixing to teach you right now is real. And Brother Carmine, I'm going to give you a kiss right on top of the head. Just say, spare me, preacher, spare me. On the screen. Thank you, sir. Boy. Look at that. What do we see on the screen? We see a branch that has fallen. Okay. Fruit growers will tell us, Dr. Bruce in his book tells us, it's documented. Fruit growers tell us that the grape vineyard has a tendency for the branches to grow down unless the branches are tied up. See the branch going out to the left? See that trellis? Those branches are tied to the trellis. And the beauty of this message is this. The branch, the divine dresser, God, goes about on this earth to and fro, seeking you out and seeking me out. And when we don't feel like serving Him, or we are discouraged to the point of backsliding, or when we are determined to just go our way, when we close our ear to the Word of God, and we, in rebellion and in our sin, walk out, understand that God is not giving up on you. What do we see in this picture? We see an urn, or a water container, and a cloth. Folks, it is a fact, that the vine dresser goes all over the orchard searching for the vine that has fallen down. And where does that vine go? In the dirt. Who said the dirt? You've read the book. This vine falls, will grow, it has a tendency to grow downward. Isn't that amazing how the Christian always feels comforting? I said it wrong. Isn't it amazing that the Christian feels comfortable turning his back? Isn't it amazing how we would rather just not go to church as to go to church? Isn't it amazing that we would rather find something else to do rather than produce fruit? You'll smile when I say this. Oh, praise God. God understands. Joel, He understands our weaknesses, doesn't He, brother? He understands our weaknesses. He understands that we are weak and that there are times when we just fall and we're down in the... What does the rain do? The rain comes, and the rain does what to this vine that's on the ground? What is it? What did it do? The water splatters dirt. You read the book. The water splatters dirt on the leaves. And when the rain stops and the sun comes out, guess what happens to that leaf? Do you understand what's happening here? That's just exactly like us. What you're seeing is us. What you're seeing on the screen is you and me. Somebody say amen. That's the way we are. Half of us come to church this way. Mad, dissatisfied, angry, upset, could care less. Ah, praise God. But the vine dresser, is he going to give up on us? Well, what does the water jug represent, Pastor? Say it. Ah, I knew you'd ask it. I knew you'd ask. The vine dresser comes along, and you can guess it. He takes each vine, and he takes the water, and does what? Washes and cleans off all the contaminants. He washes clean the leaves. He washes clean the vine. And then what does he do with the vine? He takes it, and up on the trellis, he wraps it. And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be hope for the branch. There's hope for production, folks. And Jesus, and I promise you, we'll close. Ooh, that's a dangerous word for a preacher. Boy, that's dangerous work. Ooh, but if you'll just bear with me for about two more minutes, long enough to turn to Ephesians 5. Let's do it right quick. If you want to. If you don't, just listen carefully. But let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and read 26. And when you see this, it's going to make sense. Everything I've said today will make sense when you see it. All right, are you there? Amen. Thank you, because I had a chance to blow my nose. Ephesians 5 and 26. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, honey, start at 25. Ooh, husbands, listen to this. Start at 25. Love your wives. Damn, still far. 26. That's the church now. Now that's the church. 26. Paul's talking about the church. Everybody looking at 26. 26. Here we go. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the what? Washing what? The church with the Word of God, the water of the Word. Everybody say amen. Now you can see the connection to the grapevine. The grapevine is dying there. Mildew is just about to set in, and disease is just about to set in. But, praise God, the vine dresser comes. Honey, come on to the piano and find, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. One more scripture, Titus 3:5. Just pushing over a few pages to the Timothys and then the Titus, okay? And when you see this, you'll shout. Titus chapter 3, verse. Have y'all enjoyed lessons from the vineyard this morning? Now, Pastor cannot apologize for that hard preaching a while ago. I can't apologize. I've been praying for weeks over this. And I know why we are sick. This place needs to be filled with people. You see? But until you purpose in your heart and your mind, I am going to produce fruit, then you will be like we saw a moment ago, that basket, and it was empty. Titus 3 and 5, you ready? You ready? Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Say those words, washing of regeneration. Has everybody understood the message? If there's anybody you have not understood the message, please raise your hand. Raise your hand. Good. Good. Thank you, Jesus. What page is that, honey?
347.
347? Take a hymnal. Stand to your feet, please, if you'd like. You know, this altar is open. This altar is open. Now it's up to you. It's up to you. If there's bitterness, resentments in your heart, come on to this altar. If there's sin in your life, please come. Please come to the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Mark, come and stand right there, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand right there, sir.